Danny.
What the hell's going on? I mean, what the hell is going on?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are tonight's entertainment. And here we go.
What's up, Podcast Land? Welcome back to the Smoky Shelter with your hosts,
Big Lance
and Phil. So, what's up, guys? We are back tonight with the 2007 There Will Be Blood. I wanted to slip my wrist about 1 hour into this movie.
So I wish T would have said there would have been blood.
There would have been blood.
Nah, there was so much fucking carnage in this movie. I love
this
movie.
Oh, man, I mean, they did have some good parts. I'm not going to deny it. But as a whole, I mean, it just wasn't very good.
As a whole, there was a big hole that he started out in.
And he fell and broke his leg, and he spit on the rock like you told me about. And he got out, though, and he drug himself all the fucking way where he needed to be. But, and then there was that part where that damn drill fell and hit that dude in the back of the head and just busted his shit all up.
Yeah.
They drug him out. Yeah. It was like, so-and-so's dead.
And he was in there with him.
Did I know him? No.
No, okay. No, you're talking about the other part.
Yeah, and then the other guy where the wood falls off.
Yeah, he was in there with him.
Mining's dangerous.
It is. It's a dangerous job. It's still classified as one of the most dangerous jobs there is in the world, mining.
It's just crazy. But he was mining for gold and found black gold.
I think logging's a little bit more dangerous than than mining in the death toll book. So I still do the most dangerous job in the world. Logging.
Maybe not the most dangerous job, but I get what you're saying. I get where you're going with it.
My type of logging might not be the most dangerous logging in the world, but logging in general.
My first question, are you wanting to plot this out or you just want to talk about
the
movie?
Yes, this movie needs to be plotted out.
You want to plot this movie out?
Yes.
All right, well, you're going to run with it then.
Okay. Well, it needs to be plotted out. Just talk with me about what needs to be talked about.
All right. So we're going into an hour-long movie with this one, baby. Let's go.
Maybe. I mean, it deserves it, dude. It was a good movie.
All right, well, let's talk about it.
All right, well, listen. It starts out with Daniel Plainview, and I want to mention how he signs his name for that gold and silver check right after he breaks his ankle and all that, and he's laying there on the – you remember him just laying there?
On
all
the floor.
Yeah, he signs his name, and he signs his name very profane, and he puts Daniel – first, really small, and then he puts Plainview real fucking big on that signature. All right. I just wanted to mention that. That was his first signature you see in the movie.
Well, let's talk about
how. I wanted you to watch this movie twice so you could break down the semantics and the psychology of this movie, because it gets crazy, man. I'm going to break it down to you like Swiss Army Man, and you're going to eventually love this
movie.
We'll
go for it. Let's do it.
All right. And y'all, you know what?
I want every episode to be great.
Shaun of the Dead, I wasn't a Shaun of the Dead fan like y'all was. I wasn't put in that cult classic fan, but now I am, because y'all showed me things that I didn't see.
Hey, I was same way with Swiss Army Man with you. I mean, so.
All right. Well, listen.
And Primal Fear.
Daniel Plainview. He starts off. This motherfucker fucking is mining for silver and gold. He fucking goes down there, he's fucking picking with a pickaxe. It's showing you the hard work this man's putting in, because he wants to make some money. This motherfucker has done built him a hole in the ground, done fucking lined it up with fucking boards and framed it out, done fucking put some rickety ass ladder in there, done put him a pulley system to pull his tools in, up and in and out of it. And he's going down there and picking with a fucking pickaxe. And then it's showing him filing that goddamn pickaxe. He's just working hard to make, as long as that pickaxe is sharp, it'll fucking dig a little harder and dig a little deeper. So I'm going to spend fucking 20 minutes filing this goddamn pickaxe. I'm going to show you that I'm going to work hard. That's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing my boss man in this motherfucker. I'm seeing David. See, you don't work for a laborer. You work for a motherfucker that works on a desk. And you see how he works. He works smart, but he don't work with his hands. He don't like this man. I watch this man, and I see my boss man in this man. I see I'm just going to do everything I can to make a dollar. And this is what he's doing. And he's sitting there picking at it, and he's fucking spitting on rocks and fucking shining them up to see if I see a glare from a fucking piece of silver or gold. Then he fucking puts some dynamite in there. He climbs up. He almost loses his tools in the process when the fucking mine blows up. He goes back down there. He fucking breaks the goddamn ladder, falls in, and fucking breaks his ankle. His ankle's fucking twisted sideways. And the first thing he does is not take his boot off to check his ankle. He fucking picks up a piece of rock and spits on it to see if there's some gold and silver in there. And that right there, that first scene.
I'm sorry, you got me thinking about my work when you started talking about that. I started thinking about how my boss man tries to earn a dollar every way he can to. Anyway,
right,
I'm sorry. Go
right,
ahead.
But he ain't working with his hands. He's working with his brain.
You're right.
He's a brain. But this man.
But now he will get hands on. He will get hands on with like
Daniel
working on
Plainview
electronic
figured
shit,
so. Out how to do it with his brain too. Because if you see that first town he goes to and he goes in there and he starts off by saying, everybody else is going to fuck you. Everybody else is going to fuck you. I'm going to come and I'm going to drill it right now. I'm going to get the oil out of the ground.
Days.
I'm going to give it to you. And what do? They go crazy. Oh, fuck that shit. This is my town, blah, blah. And they're all fucking fighting with him. And what does he do? He takes his fucking son and he fucking walks off. And there's fucking mayhem going in the streets. Fucking fires and shit. People that fucking went crazy in that town because he went there asking about goddamn oil. Right.
Right.
Well, the second town he goes in, he fucking plays his cards right, man. He goes in there about the Lord and all this shit, and he's got a preacher backing him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because Paul Dano comes in here.
So we talking twin brothers here, right?
What are we saying?
Between Paul Dano.
Yeah.
Plays both Paul.
Uh-huh.
And Eli.
Are they twins?
Are they? I'm asking you. Are they the same person? That's what I couldn't figure out.
I don't think they're twins. I thought they was the same person.
But Eli, when he was beating his dad down, put his hand over his face
and
said, your son Paul.
But did he say he was Paul when he came up the first time?
No, he said when he said
he was Eli.
He said he was Paul when he went there and told him, "Hey, give me $500 and I'll tell you where a place is you can get oil from." His name was Paul Sunday,
and he had a twin brother.
And Eli Sunday was the preacher.
But
or was
Eli,
that the same guy playing him? They kind of portrayed it like he played a joke to get him there the whole time.
Did Eli say, "I have a twin brother"?
It was never said.
Did you just come up with that on the top of your head?
No, I wondered that last night when I was watching.
No, Paul was another man. I don't know if it ever actually showed Paul.
But it was Paul played Paul Dano.
Did he come up and introduce himself at the beginning as Paul?
Yes.
He did?
Yes. Yes. Because I thought it was funny how when I went through the cast looking at it, as I was watching the movie,
well, then you
Paul,
just told me something.
Paul Dano played Paul Sunday, and Daniel Day-Lewis played Daniel
Plainview.
They kept their same first names.
But
then the next time you see him, he's Eli Sunday.
He's Eli.
And when Paul tells, at that part when they're having the meeting, Paul is telling Plainview, he's like, where do you live? How many brothers, sisters you got? He said, I got two sisters and a brother. And when he got there, there was Eli and the two little girls. So the only thing I can think of is there was twins. But it was never mentioned except...
He got $500 and he was gone.
He said, give me $500
and
I'll
tell
you where you go.
So you think that was the twin, Paul, that did that?
I don't know because...
I think it was Eli the whole time.
That, at one point, it made me think it was Eli the whole time. But and then Eli mentioned Paul to the dad.
He
was like,
he said, your brother coming, or
I don't think even think he said your son. He's like, what, with your son, Paul?
Yeah, son.
Did he change his name to Eli?
He was beating him. I thought it was him the whole time. I thought it was him the entire time. I really did. I think it was him the entire time.
If it was, he tried to play two different characters.
He did play two different characters. But what I seen...
But you think the character was the same person twice?
When he got there and he said, I'm hunting for pigeon or for quail. And they said, what can I get you? You got some bread? Got some? Got, and he said, no, I got potatoes. He said, I'll bring some milk. My son Eli, come help you and bring some firewood.
Right.
Eli come brought him firewood, and he was like, I never met you before. But he was like, I met you before. And he looked at his son. Daniel Plainview looked at his son and was like, and like gave him a wink and was like, just go with it. Did you not see that?
Yeah, because at the beginning, Plainview thought that that was Paul. He was like, you're the one that told me to come here.
He don't say that, though.
No, but that's the kind of face he made. Like he was, like, stunned that it was Paul. And that's when Eli was like, it's nice to meet you. And then that's, he might have looked down. I didn't catch him looking down at the sun, but I just caught the face
yeah.
he made.
Yeah, well, he's like, nice to meet you. What's your name? And he's talking to the young boy, and the young boy, and then Daniel Plainview looked at him. He's like, winks at him, and like, just go with it, you know.
I remember seeing that, but I didn't see that. What I seen was, tell him your name, boy.
Well, anyway, I think there was the same person. I think he got $500 out of Daniel Plainview, and then went there, and he knew
he. Drilled the he oil
knew
for him.
That was his father's land.
Uh-huh.
And it was ultimately up to his father. But Daniel Plainview was the one that was going to say, no, this is my fucking, we got oil on this land that's worth more than what you want to offer for it. Because the little boy asked his daddy, he said, what you going to pay him for it? He said, quail money, not fucking oil money. And then he tries giving.
And then
he
Eli talks
giving,
him up.
He tries giving quail money, which was $3,000 an acre.
He said it was $3,700 for the whole ranch, is what he told him. $3,700
oh,
for the whole
said?
Ranch.
Oh, it was $6 an acre.
$6 an acre.
And he said $10,000.
He said $10,000. He said,
what do you want for? He said, my church.
And he said, I like that.
But look at him. He was dressed in rags. Dressed in fucking rags when he met him, dude. And he turned that town into a rich town, Daniel Plainview. At the end of the movie, I don't want to get all the way to the end of the movie, but I
Why
want
not?
I
Fuck,
just
man.
No, because
okay.
there's some good parts, because it's a long movie, and it's
it
a long movie
a long
for
movie.
A reason.
Okay. Let's talk about it. That's what we're here for.
He tells him, look, you're gonna open your mine. You're gonna start your drilling tomorrow. Please, all I want you to do is come and say, "I'm the son of this landowners that's been shepherding these sheep for the last blah 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 years." He wants some recognition, so the town will love him more
right,
for
right.
bringing this man to his town. You know what I mean?
I follow that. I got that.
He wants to be second in command.
Yeah.
Is what he wants to look like.
He wanted to control that guy
pretty
through the town. And to do that, he had to get the town to get behind him.
I
followed. I caught all that right from
Daniel Plainview mentions when he meets his fake fucking brother.
Mm-hmm.
I got a greed in me. I got an envy. He says, are you an envious man? He says, I got a greed in me. I don't want to see nobody do better than me.
He said, I don't want to see nobody succeed.
Succeed.
Just me.
Just me. So, right there, he don't want that fucking preacher man to succeed. So, what does he do? He pulls his fucking sister up. His little
and
sister.
Did you not get a rapey vibe off of him, the way he treated that little
yeah,
sister?
Yeah.
I thought at some point he's going to rape that little girl. I mean, I really thought that just because that there was a later point
in
time.
It was a little too touchy.
There was a little later time where they were at a picnic and she was
yeah,
running.
She
he caught her
up,
and he pulls her on up. And I'm thinking
and
that's
he's like,
rapey
he's like,
vibe.
Your daddy don't beat you no more, does he? And he's standing right over.
Or
he's
sitting on
right
the other side
there,
of him.
Just listening to him talk. And that's just, you know, just... fucking just showing his fucking
well and we left
strong
that out
hand.
The little girl told his son that my dad beats me
yeah
the dad told or the little boy told his dad so his dad made that comment in front of her dad and pretty much just let that he just told him without any words that if you do it again I'm gonna kick your ass
he went there and talked to him
Oh, you think
he
did?
He did not show it, but he fucking let him know. He might have put his hands on it.
Which I wish they'd have showed that.
Well, it led you to believe that.
It didn't lead me to believe that because I thought that he just straight said, your daddy don't beat you no more. Does he?
Yeah, because I done put my hands on you one time. Is what he's saying.
I didn't get that.
You don't fucking see the fucking between the lines?
Read between the lines.
Right. You gotta read between the lines, dude. He's done fucking went to him and told him, don't fucking do that or I'm gonna fuck you up. Or he might have put his hands on him the first time, slapped him around a little bit. But he has done mentioned it to him. You can tell by the way his daddy's fucking scared. He don't say a fucking word. All right. Well, anyway, what happens next? Hell arises. Blows his goddamn boy's eardrums out.
Mm-hmm.
And what does he say? The man's like, oh, no, man, this is awful. His right-hand man. They're sitting there watching the fire come up from hell. He says, oh, man, we're fucked, all this shit. And, all that. And his right-hand man's just like, and what does Daniel Plainview say?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Daniel Plainview's just, it's nighttime now.
He runs out there and start with a
yeah,
hammer.
Yeah, they're just
start,
fucking, they're
starts cutting
they're
the fucking ropes.
Yeah, and then after that, they're watching the fire just burn that night. No. The next morning, they fucking blow it up.
Oh, but once they go to
the, they cut the ropes and let the tower fall.
Right.
Well, that night, that shit burns all night long.
Yeah.
The next morning, they take the dynamite in there and blow it up. But that night, while it's burning, them two, Daniel Plainview and his right-hand man, I can't remember his name.
Oh, yeah.
But he's with him. They're sitting there looking at it, and his right-hand man's like, God damn it, man, all this, we're fucked now and all this. Daniel Plainview, what is he say? You don't remember?
I don't remember.
Daniel Plainview's like, we got a river of gold up under us. We're fucking rich. Ah, and he's fucking just going crazy. He's fucking going mayhem. He's loving this shit.
I remember that. I just
he's
remember
like,
his word for word.
We're
saying.
Exploding in fucking oil. We got a river running up under us. We have way more than we expected. We're fucking rich forever. This is not a big thing to him. And Paul, then it fucking shines to Paul Dano looking out the window. Like hell is coming from fucking above. And he's a religious man, so you're like, well, maybe that is fucking the devil coming and saying, y'all fucking just reaping off of the land too much, or, you know, you're doing this. Because he's a religious man. He wanted the money for his church, but now he's turning into a greedy fucking preacher and dressing a little nippy and nappier. You know what I mean? Debonair, fucking walking around in his fucking expensive suits and driving a nice car now. You know what I mean? It's a whole new world. He's like, that's what I'm seeing out of Paul. That's why you got to watch it more than once. But that's what I'm seeing out of Paul Dano. He's looking out of this window like, fucking devil's coming for us. Okay, now if you want to split to the end, do you got any more in between? Oh, yeah. He fucking abandons his child.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't leave out that.
And what does the preacher do? He runs him through the town on it. You abandon your child. I abandon my child.
Because that's the only way he can get the land.
I abandon my child.
Because he's trying to avoid having train and shipping costs. So he wants to run a pipeline all the way to the coast. But the only thing that's stopping him is that one land. And that guy says, I'll give you the land if you'll get saved and be a part of our church.
Right, and admit that you abandon your child and get your child back. And what does he do? He does that. All right. And do you got anything in between that and the end?
What about when the guy is offering him
$1 million? His brother comes.
Okay, we can go into that then.
His brother comes and fucking, and it's not his brother, but his brother's got a note from his sister or something. I don't know. He knew his brother, is what it was the man knew his brother and got his notebook.
Got his diary.
His diary or whatever. And what does he say? he don't trust him at first, but then he eventually trusts him and lets him work for him and all that shit. And
for a long time.
And he does pretty good by him. He's fucking making it. He's dressing nice clothes. Fucking
spending his goddamn money.
He's
though.
Living the top shelf life.
He come over and was like, I need money. Give me money. And the guy gave him money.
And he figured out, you ain't my fucking brother. And he fucking questions him on it more, and he just fucking opens up to him and says, I'm your friend, Daniel. I'm not your brother, but I'm your friend. I knew you. He said, I knew your brother. He said he was a good man. He told me stories about you. I had his diary. He said, I'm not your brother.
But he
didn't even blame you.
Didn't even know he had a brother.
He said, I'm not your brother, but I'm your friend. And then all of a sudden, fuck that shit. Pulls his fucking gun out of his fucking back pocket and pow, kills his ass quicker than fucking...
Dude, but he actually told him, his fake brother actually said, I'm your brother from another mother.
Did he say that?
Yeah, when he was sitting on the porch and he was like, I'm your brother from another mother. Wow. I was like, really? That's when that come out in 1892, whenever that part happened.
The beginning of the movie was in 1897, I think.
Okay, well, 1900.
And then they started around 1900 when he really got big. But
no, I don't reckon. I mean, there's
so he kills his
brother. We gotta
from another mother.
He does kill his brother. We gotta talk about, there was another part I forgot, but we gotta talk about how the son gets older and gets married. And don't he marry that girl? The girl that we thought the dad was trying to rape on. Yeah. He married her, and he's got a person with him that does translator because
and
of science.
And it shows him when Daniel Plainview gets old and he's writing his, he's signing his name, and he just fucking just runs through it, and it's all pretty much the same size. The Plainview ain't real big on the page like it used to be. And that's why I mentioned that, because his signature at the end was nowhere near his fucking bold signature at the beginning. He had a bold signature and wanted to make a name for himself. Well, see, you didn't see the psychology behind that.
I did not see the psychology behind the signature. I didn't notice signature. But I did notice that he told his son that he wasn't his real dad. He just found him and knew he needed a pretty face to buy land.
And he, that's how much.
That's not his dad?
That's how much of a greedy motherfucker he was. I don't think it was his son.
You think he found that baby in a basket?
Yeah,
and
because if you watch through the movie, there's a lot of points where it shows that he loves that boy. But if you watch it, there's a lot of points where it just looks like he's saving him because he needs somebody to fucking have a pretty face for him.
People and trust the man with the
kid.
He
uses him every fucking time he is trying to sell himself and make it and in a meeting or something like that. He's using his boy. He's saying, me and my fucking partner over here, me and my partner, my son, my partner, whose mother died at birth.
Yeah, I was going to say at birth.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
At birth.
He's using that boy. Yeah. That boy's in a goddamn basket at the beginning of the goddamn movie.
Or before the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, he's sitting in a fucking basket, dude, and his daddy's in a goddamn well, at the, and, you know?
Yeah.
And at the end, we'll say, baby in a basket, baby in a basket.
That's all you are.
Baby in a basket, and they're fucking 30 meters away from him. He's deaf, can't hear a word of it, and he's still screaming out, baby in a basket.
Wait, can I tell you something?
Hold on, but this is way before Paul Dano and him. We didn't even get into
Paul
Dano.
Okay. Before we do, while we're talking about the grown-up version of his son, you know that this is just a little bit of tidbit here. The actor is really deaf. The actor who played his old, the grown son, is really, he is a deaf actor.
Cool.
I just thought that was pretty cool trivia. He beat the shit out of Dan Paul.
Well, Paul Dano Paul comes Dano. To him and says,
Dan Paulo,
I have a piece of land that you don't know about. And this is my favorite part of the movie, so I gotta mention this.
All
right. He says, I got a piece of land that you don't know about. It's like the so-and-so land. He's like, oh, yes, that land. I know about it. Yeah, it's like, there's a lot of oil on that land. You want this land, I guarantee I can get it for you for cheap. I need some money. He's just fucking begging for money, man, at this point. And he's like, well, I'll buy the land from you as long as you say.
Whoa, you're missing out. He said, what do you want for it? And he told him like a ridiculous amount, he said $150,000.
Well, it was higher in times, right. He knew what the oil was worth then. You know what I mean?
Right. So he said $150,000, and the guy said, sure. And he was like, plus I want the $5,000 you originally promised me with interest. And he said, seems reasonable. Did he not remind you of Sean Connery?
Seems reasonable.
He sounded like Sean Connery. Seems reasonable. And he was like, I want the original $5,000 you promised me. Okay, done. Seems reasonable. He did. The whole time I'm thinking, I can close my eyes and this is Sean Connery. But anyway, and that's when he said, all right, deal. And he tells him where it's at and all that. And he's like, drainage!
No, hold on. You fucked my part up. He wanted him to say that.
I'll cut it out just right.
You're a false prophet.
Yeah.
He said, just tell me you're a false prophet and that God isn't real or something like that.
Right, right.
And he makes him say it the same way.
He made him say, I abandoned my son.
I abandoned my child.
My child, yeah.
And he says, I'm a false prophet. Scream it. I'm a false prophet and God isn't real.
And God is a superstition.
And God is a superstition. Okay. He makes him say that over and over like he did about his child being abandoned. You didn't even catch all that, did you?
Yeah.
That's the what he was making
him do. Hell yeah, 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 yeah. I caught all that. He was making him do the same thing he made him do.
See that that's awesome writing? And you just didn't like this movie? Oh my God, dude. All right.
Anyway, keep going. Let's go.
And then he says, well, I've already got that land. He says, well, what are you saying? You haven't drilled that land. He says, well, let me explain something to you. If I take my milkshake, if I take my straw and I put it in your milkshake, then I drank your milkshake. It's called drainage.
Which immediately.
That motherfucker went crazy, dude.
I know. Which immediately made me think of Impractical Jokers.
My favorite part is when he says, I drank your milkshake. That shit made me laugh so hard, dude. That's just funny as fuck. But Impractical Jokers, what would you say?
It just reminded me of Impractical Jokers.
What part?
Where they did that with the straw and
stuff. I drank your milkshake. That man, that shit made me laugh my ass off. And then he's like, I'm sorry, Daniel, I'm sorry. He's fucking running from him and he's throwing fucking bowling ball pins at him.
But you're talking about this movie like it's a comedy.
But there's some comedic parts in it.
Like you laughed through all of it.
I laughed when he
See, I didn't. I didn't. I was literally trying to stay awake through this whole movie.
I'm sorry, dude, but you watch it again, I bet you will like it if you watch it and think about all the parts that I thought about while watching it, dude. I watched it 3 times. I'd watch it again in 2 weeks if you told me to.
I just wasn't that big on it.
All right, well, anyway, that part was kind of funny to me. And then, you know, his son really fucking stepped up and was starting to be successful and he wants to do his own thing in Mexico and make motherfucking twice the dollar for the oil that he's making for the oil. You know what I mean? He's got his fucking... He's the smart guy. You know, his daddy did it the hard working way. He's going to fucking do it the goddamn...
Daddy's your boss man. The son is my boss man.
Right. Pretty much.
Which is pretty much the way my boss man and his daddy, I think, run. Anyway.
And that's the way my boss man and his son is. My boss man's son was not the valedictorian of his high school, but what's the next one?
I don't know what it's called.
But the next one down?
The second runner-up.
Yeah, he was a runner-up of the valedictorian. But anyway, he was really smart, and he does a lot of stuff making money. He does fucking stock market and farms and all kind of shit, dude. But
we didn't even mention that there's no dialogue in this movie for the first fucking 5 minutes. And then the first thing they say, there's no talking for the first 5 minutes. Yeah. I'm like, is this a silent fucking movie? And the first thing that you hear is, no. And then you don't hear anything else until the 15-minute marker. And then that's where Daniel Plainview starts explaining him going to that town. 15 minutes, you get one fucking word. No! That's it. And that's when the fucking thing broke and it killed his partner.
But that's how good the movie is that they don't have to say nothing for 15 minutes. And that was one of the most iconic parts.
I'm not saying.
That was one of the most iconic parts of the movie for me. That's one of the things that stuck out the most was the very beginning of the movie.
That you didn't mention that I did.
That I mentioned to you to make you want to like the movie. I told you the first 5 minutes of the movie before I ever, and he was like, please don't tell me. And I was like, it ain't too much. It's just to let you know how greedy this motherfucker
is. Oh, I was talking about way beyond that. 15 minutes in, there's no talking in this movie. It's all just people working and doing shit. There's no talking.
It's letting you know, man. Okay. It's showing you things that you need to know about the movie. I don't know. That's what this movie is about. You just got to watch it and fucking use your mind. You got to use your imagination like you did with Swiss Army Man.
I know what you're saying. And, hey, you sold me on Swiss Army Man.
You just didn't sell me on this one. Well, watch it again. Try it one more time. Since you bought it and you own it now,
yeah.
Watch it again. I will. If you got it on Amazon, I'm going to watch it again.
I got it on Amazon. I may do that because it wasn't available on Vudu for whatever reason. But, all right, I may do that. But I'm going to go ahead and give my rating and review on this. I'm going to start off saying I think this movie had really good actors in it. I'm not going to say huge names because I didn't know most of them. I only know Paul Dano from Swiss Army Man. I only know Daniel Day-Lewis because he played in Lincoln, and I've never seen Lincoln, but I just know he played in it.
I'm going to start doing only Paul Dano movies since you don't know fucking Paul Dano movies.
All right. Well, I like their acting. Their performance was good. I mean, this was not corny too much, but the biggest thing is it just wasn't engaging enough for me. That was the only issue. Great acting, but the storyline, the plot, just it didn't pull me in. It didn't make me engaged with it. I mean, I watched it. I watched it on my phone.
You couldn't relate is the problem.
I guess. But listen, I watched it on my phone, so I wasn't on my phone on Facebook or nothing.
Well, could you relate with anybody in the movie?
I don't reckon so.
Well, that's your problem. I don't see it as a problem.
But
that's the reason that you didn't enjoy the movie as much as me, maybe. I related to some of the characters.
I got you. Okay, well, I didn't. I mean, it just didn't pull me in. But with that being said, my review is that I can see how it would be a good movie to someone who liked that kind of stuff. So I'm going to just say it's a good movie. It's not my cup of tea. It's not something I would watch if I didn't have to. It's not something I will go back and want to rewatch because it just didn't engage me enough. But it was good acting. It ran a little long, in my opinion. In my opinion, I know if it cut it short, shit got cut out.
In your opinion, the movie would have been 10 minutes and you would have
No. I mean, they could have made that easily into max 2 hours. Mm-hmm. Hour and 45 probably would have been a little better. But as a whole, this as a movie itself, and I'm going to critique this, and I'm going to give it a rating as an actual movie rating, not my personal favorite. You see what I'm saying? I'm not going to say it's a 5 because I didn't like it. I'm going to say it's a 10 because it was that good of a movie, but it wasn't. I'm going to give this movie a 7.5. Shut the fuck up. I'm explaining why. I'm going to give it a 7.5 because I do think it had good acting. I do think it was ultimately a good movie. It just was not my cup of fucking tea.
7.5 is better than the way you made it sound like you was going
to
give it.
That was the whole point. I wanted to make Podcast Land think I was going to say it real low, give it a low setting, and then I was going to give it a good setting, and I was going to say it's a good movie. It just isn't my cup of tea, which is what I said, so that would be the punchline of the joke. That's the joke. Anyway.
So you really enjoyed the movie, then.
I enjoyed.
If you gave it a 7.5, then you rated it higher than you would Predator, so you would rather see this than Predators.
No.
And your rating system is fucked.
I would much rather watch Predators because of the fact that Predators is more engaging to me. But now, is Predators as good as this movie as far as acting, as far as storyline, as far as this and that? No, it's not. It's a cheesy shoot 'em up action movie, which is my cup of tea.
Okay.
Well, but I rate movies. I want to explain my rating. I'm sorry. I'm going to explain the podcast.
I understand.
But I want to explain the podcast.
The way you just said that, you just explained it, really.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
My rating system is I think a good movie is.
It was good. It had better acting. I understood completely the way you just explained
but
it.
But if you put those two movies
you
in
would
front
rather
of me,
watch Predators because that's your cup of tea. Because that's your cup of tea.
Yes.
I mean, just like if you say, what's a better movie, Titanic or fucking Terminator 2? Terminator 2 is also an awesome movie, but Titanic was a real well-written movie and a very good, it's Academy Award-winning movie, nominated for
something. I'll agree with you, but so was Terminator 2.
Exactly, but could you give Arnold Schwarzenegger an Oscar for saying, I'll be back?
No.
I mean, come on now.
Here's a good...
But it's more your cup of tea.
Yeah. Here's a good analogy.
Because that's...
Here's a good analogy.
Okay, well, give me a better analogy.
Here's a good analogy. Would you rather watch... I'm not saying what's better. I'm saying what would you rather watch? Titanic?
Okay.
Or... Hang on. I want to pick the right movie because I had a movie in my mind. But
I thought Titanic and Terminator was the best movie ever.
But those are two really good movies. I want to give you something that's crap that you would watch again, though. I mean, like...
Okay, well, give me one that's crap that I'll watch again.
Well, I mean, like me. Take, for example, if I was going to go Terminator or Titanic or Predators, I would watch Predators.
Oh, no, I think I would go Titanic because I ain't seen Titanic in a long time. And it was a good, well-written movie and a very good movie. But I would put Titanic against Terminator 2 like I did. And, yeah, I'd rather watch Terminator 2 because it's fun. It's a more fun – it's a funner movie.
All right, I see what you're saying. Okay, so I gave my rating. What's your rating and review of this movie?
I don't know. What was we talking about?
There will be blood.
There will be blood. My movie pick for tonight, and it was a really good movie to me. I'll put it in my top 20 movies of all times, I believe. It was just well written. Daniel Day-Lewis. I don't really know him, and I'm sure he's a big actor that's played in a shit ton of movies. But I can't name none of them. Can you name one?
Lincoln.
Okay, I didn't watch it.
I didn't either. I just know he played in it.
All right, well, I believe
he played Abraham Lincoln.
I believe he was awesome as it. He's the
Ronnie. My in-laws watched that movie and said they loved it.
I want to watch it now. The in-laws watched it and said they loved it.
All right.
But I do. I really do. Because I've heard Lincoln was really, really good.
I heard
But Daniel Day-Lewis.
Lincoln is probably a really good movie. And if I watch it, I really enjoy it. But I'd still, before that, I'd rather watch Abraham Lincoln,
the Vampire Slayer.
Because that's more of my cup of tea.
It was an awesome movie.
We need to do that one.
We should. All right. But
anyway.
Daniel Day-Lewis, he's a fucking awesome actor, dude. That motherfucker's role in There Will Be Blood. Will fucking
he did
go
a good
down
job.
In the history book.
He did do a good job. He did a good
Paul
job.
Paul Dano's.
Did a good job.
And I'm putting him in another podcast that we're doing pretty soon, which is called 12 Years a Slave. And it's because I'm going to make Philip watch another movie that he don't want to watch, but he needs to because he needs to be culturized and he needs to know a little bit about our past.
Rating.
I wish I had a long dick where I can just piss on you right now. Alright, I'm sorry for even saying that. Alright, I take it back. I'm going to give this movie an 8.5.
Okay.
Alright. And you know what? I'm going to drain a little bit from your points. and give it an 87. Drainage!
Good tie. Okay, well, let's do budget versus box office. What you think this movie spent, Big Lance?
2007 movie come out, Big Dog.
Yep.
You know how I know that? Because it says it on Netflix when it comes out, but they took it off of Netflix this week. Fuck Netflix for doing that.
And I had to buy it for $9.99.
Fuck Netflix is what I'm saying.
So I had to spend $10 on it.
What do you want to say?
I spent $10.
So what do you want to say?
Sponsor us, Netflix.
Fuck Netflix.
Fuck Netflix.
Fuck Netflix for doing that to my brother. But I'm glad you did, because now I have it forever. Because my brother bought it for us.
Unless I change my password.
But if he does, then I'm going to kick him in his shin. All right. Where were we at? Are we done with this?
No, budget. No. Budget versus box office.
Okay.
What does this movie spend?
2007, I'm going to go with... There was a lot of old-timey scenes. Old cars. They had some old fucking, like, 1907, 1920s vehicles that were badass in this fucking movie. So, I'm going to say... they spent $15 million.
I thought you were going to go high. You went a little low. $25 million.
Really?
Yeah.
But I wasn't too far off.
$10 million off. All right. What did they gross?
So they grossed $37 million.
$40 million.
I'm a motherfucking man.
All right, bonus question. Opening weekend.
Opening weekend did $11
million.
$302,000. Wow, man. This movie did good from word of mouth. Am I right?
It run from December of 07 to April of 08.
That lets you know how good this movie did, is that it did $307,000 the first opening weekend. And that motherfucker got word of mouth and did fucking how much? $40 million?
In 4 months.
What? That's pretty badass, dude.
It made a profit.
Do you not agree that's pretty badass? Went from a 307,000.
Not to be a blockbuster. Yeah, it did awesome.
It wasn't a blockbuster?
No, this wasn't a blockbuster. I never even heard of it. Never seen the advertisement before. Never.
What,
seen
what does a blockbuster do?
Blockbusters are like big summer features that come out that are on every like the event. Marvel movies are fucking
all the summer movies are blockbusters.
Movies that are everywhere. You see them on Facebook. You see them on commercials. You see them on movie intros. They're everywhere.
I don't know, but for a movie that does $307,000 the opening weekend and blows up to $40 million, that motherfucker had word of mouth.
Oh, yeah, it did. I agree with you.
That was a well-written movie. That's why that motherfucker's nominated for Academy Awards.
All right. Well, let's do this. It's time for the game. Sure pick. So I choose the actor. I only know one actor has been in another movie, so we're going Paul Dano for the Big Lance win. Since I chose, you pick first.
12 Years Slave.
Swiss Army Man.
I'm going to go, he's been in some other shit, I know. You're killing me here, man. I reckon I'm just going to have it again. Third time in a row.
That was strategy, baby. I knew two movies he had been in.
I know
in,
two more.
And I just had,
I know
to,
two more,
I just had to hope that you didn't know any more than those two.
I know two
and
more.
And I didn't know 12 Years a Slave till tonight.
I know two more, but I can't fucking think of the actual name of them. I'm not sure on the name, so I ain't even going to mention it. One of them I want to say is like...
You might as well mention it, and I can look it up and see if it's right, because if not, I mean, it's a loss.
One of them's
way.
Like Fifth something. I wanted to say
Fifth Element.
Yeah, close. I wanted to say... No, I know that. It's a movie with Angelina Jolie, and it's a thriller. And I do got one. Somebody's texting me one right now. I do got one. It's called Little Miss Sunshine.
I think he was in that, wasn't he?
He was.
He was?
Yeah.
You win. I ain't even gonna look it up. Yes. You win.
A little bit of sunshine.
All right. Well, one word.
Drainage.
Basket.
Baby in a basket.
All right, guys, if y'all enjoyed this episode, and we hope you did, check us out at smokeshelter.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. We're on Pocket Cast. We're on Podomatic. We're on Stitcher. We're on Podbean. And we have a whole lot of behind the scenes and extra shit on Patreon.com. Check us out there.
Good shit's on Patreon.
Working on a YouTube channel. Going to have that up soon enough. We're going to get some pictures and videos and shit to go up on there. But beyond that,
y'all see our sexy faces.
That's right. And y'all can always check us out at smokeyshelter.com. Hey, send us an email. Hit us up on our mailbag at smokeyshelter@gmail.com. Let's try it again. Hit us up on our mailbag at smokeyshelter@gmail.com. And hey, if you like our shit, man, let us know something you want us to do. By the way, our Twitter account, I don't think we've mentioned this, is not at the Smoky Shelter. It's at Smoky Shelter. No the. Just at Smoky Shelter. I think that's it. Any last words, Big Lance?
I drink your milkshake.
Later.
Why so serious? Hello, silly. Remember me?
Dance off, bro. Me and you. Broke into the wrong goddamn rec room, didn't you, you bastard?
Time to nut up or shut up.
You, no trouble. Me? Fifth element, supreme being, me, protect you, sleep.